Riders go first and 10, led by Isaac Harker. Lowther for a 49-yard field goal attempt. Lowther up, and you hear it there. It is good. So the first score of the game is a 49-yard Brett Lowther field goal. Kilgore scrambles out to his right, throws on the run. Picked by Nick Marshall at the 40, the 50. Midfield, Marshall rolling, spinning 40 out at the 35-yard line. And Nick Marshall has his fifth of the season. Bennett takes the snap. Gives it to Thigpen up the middle, pushing and reaching, and he's in for the touchdown. Back-to-back games with a score, Marcus Thigpen, and it's 9-0 Riders. Oh, Bennett, oh, he's going to be stopped. Oh, beautifully done. Javon Santos knocks Hook Bennett down as he tried to get the right edge, and the Riders will turn it over on down. White, it is up. It came out low, and it's wide to the left. Thigpen, a chance to return it. He'll bring it out. He's at the 5, the 10. Thigpen, rolling 20. Cuts back on King, 40. Two men to beat. He's got past. Oh. No, Kilgore made the tackle at the 50-yard line of the Eskimos. Logan Kilgore. Riders 10. Eskimos no scores. The Riders looking good to take first place in the West. Blitz coming from depth. A lot of Riders coming. Kilgore, Tavon Smith easy in the end zone for the touchdown. And Edmonton is on the board. Riders show 5. They'll bring 4. Solomon drops out. Pressure fumble. Stripped and recovered. Who is it going to be?
AC Leonard.
9-9. Sack number 9 on the season. Another high snap that Ryan is able to get down to kick up, and it's wide to the right this time. Another miss for Lowther. O'Neill has a real leg, but he is going to kneel it straight down. 2 points to the Riders. Make it 12-6. Kilgore, corner route. Elliott, back in the end zone. Did he hold on for the touchdown? He did. Beautiful snap. The kick is up. It is strong, and it's wide to the left. Really, 1 for 5 now is Lowther. That will be a single point to tie the game. Troy Williams under pressure, sack at the 45-yard line. Micah Johnson. Parker throws it up, one-on-one for McInnes underneath, caught the 29, and down at the 21-yard line. Justin McInnes. Ryan gets it down, Lowther gets it up, flag is down, the field goal is good. Here we go.
Ruling on the field has been paramedic. The video official has overruled that. There is no penalty, we have a good field goal.
Four-man pressure. Tipped by Williams, picked. Cam Judge right to his head, and Judge is going to score! Cam Judge taking the Riders to first place in the West! The Riders 23, the Eskimos 13 as the Riders finish 13-5 on the year. 57 minutes away from the beginning of the West Final. Mosaic Stadium, it is the Riders and Bombers, two teams meeting for the fifth time this season, if you include the preseason. They know each other very well. Even though these Bombers look dramatically different from the team that came here twice during the regular season. Cody Fajardo dealing with an oblique injury. He's going to start and play this game. He's on the field warming up as we speak. Shaq Evans, we'll talk a lot about his status. He will play. He is in uniform, running some routes, dealing with that toe injury. Shaq Evans, good to go. So the two big injury concerns for your Riders appear to be going in their favor in this, the most important of a game so far. Cody Fajardo, MOP of the West, dealing with, as we mentioned, an oblique injury that kept him out of that last game in Edmonton. We had a chance to talk to Cody yesterday and ask him, Cody, how is your oblique?
It feels good. I mean, today was a simple walkthrough day, so I didn't have to push it at all, and gives me another day just to kind of rest. But, you know, all things considered, it's feeling probably the best that I've felt since the injury.
What's this recovery process been like for you?
It's been frustrating. It's been taxing body-wise, mentally a little bit taxing. But the medical staff did a tremendous job. I mean, we uncovered every stone possible to get me feeling as comfortable and confident as I can be. I thought our game plan throughout the 2 weeks has been tremendous. And it's put me in a position to be able to hopefully go out there and play some good football.
You played through injuries before? Like something is, how would you rate this injury playing through your career and other ones?
Yeah, I've had some significant injuries I've played with. I've played with a torn MCL in my knee, and as a runner, that was pretty tough. So this is the complete opposite, where now it's my throwing, right? So obviously, I can't let anything change in terms of how I play the game. I have to play exactly comfortable, confident, how I was all year long. I can't think about it. And if I have to think about it on every play, I think it distracts me from the play at hand, the task at hand. So if I'm unable to go out there and not think about it, if it's for bothering me, I think I'm going to have to make a decision just to pull myself out.
Being mentally taxing, is it the extra film you're talking about, or is there more?
I think it's convincing your body you can do it, or that something's not going to go wrong, right? A lot of times when you have an injury and something happened the way it did in practice, I remember my first ball, I was really nervous just to throw it. But once you get over those kind of leaps, those obstacles where you throw the ball and you're like, hey, it's not that bad, or it didn't blow out on me, you know, kind of thing. It really helps you. I think that the other part was my schedule got longer, which was I thought was hard to do already with how much hours I was putting in. But I had to get up here even earlier to get treatment in, watch film, and then stay even later after all my stuff was done to stay even later and get treatment in afterwards. So it was my body definitely took some much needed rest, but my brain definitely didn't.
That is Riders quarterback Cody Fajardo out now, standing near the 44-yard line, throwing some passes, and Mitchell Blair joins me here. And Mitchell, we will be watching every single movement he makes between now and, I don't know, the final whistle.
Yeah, I've been joking all week that he needs to do the Dak Prescott to make me convinced that he's 100%, but he's out there throwing the ball. I haven't seen him throw a deep ball. I haven't seen him throw one with a lot of force, but he is out there. He says he is going to go for as long as he can, and now just as I say that, he throws a deep pass down the field. And
caught by Lavoie,
right,
at the 10.
Caught by Patrick Lavoie. You know what? That's a guy today I think could be a real X factor today. He hasn't been in the lineup all year. He was a big part of this team last season.
Yeah,
I think you could see a lot of screens to Patrick Lavoie today. He's going to be good as far as pass blocking goes. I think that's a huge plus for the Riders, something that a lot of people aren't talking about.
No, and we will certainly get into that. Lavoie was, yes, his first game this season after disc surgery in his back. If Fajardo, we know he's not 100%. He said he's not 100%, and nobody on this field will be 100%. Which part concerns you more, the way his injury may affect his throwing or the way his injury may affect his running?
I think just throwing, because running, yeah, there's twisting involved in both. But I think he's going to be smart today when it comes to running the football. It's how much gets taken out of him when he has to throw. And again, I'm not a medical guy. I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn last night. If he's throwing passes over 20, 25 yards, how much does that take out of him?
Yeah.
Because no matter if he's at 80%, 90%, that oblique, if he's twisting that and torquing that to throw, it's got to take a lot out of him. So how much does it take out of him? And, you know, is he on a pitch count here tonight? The statement about, you know, I'll play for as long as I can, hopefully that's, you know, 8 quarters from now, but we'll see what happens. But the one thing for Cody in his favor today, the weatherman has cooperated. It's going to be +5. It's not going to be, because if it's cold, obviously, you know, things aren't going the way they should be. So that's going to be a big plus for the Riders today, is the fact that it's a warm day. I'm sure that Cody probably has on a heated vest or something underneath his jersey, along with whatever else, to try and keep that oblique in good shape. But we'll see how things transpire here this afternoon.
We are looking forward to great things from Cody Fajardo. Second most rushing yards of any quarterback in the CFL. It's a very important part of his game. How will he do that? How many run pass options do they feel comfortable, because there's extra twisting and turning in those? And yes, will Shaq Evans get free for a deep ball and Cody can rainbow one in? All the things that we will break down as we go, and important parts of this Rider offense, and they are going to need it against a very stout Bombers team. A team that went into Calgary and took out the Stampeders in Calgary by 3 touchdowns. They will be a formidable opponent. We will talk to their play-by-play man, Bob Irving. You heard his call of the game last week. He'll join us to break down this matchup for us. For Redhead Equipment, the cooperators, see Jeremy Saxby at Southside Financial Services in Regina, Sask Milk, The Wireless Age, your Sasktel authorized dealer, McDougal Auctioneers, Salford Group, our friends at Young's Equipment, Access Communications, and Casinos Regina, and Moose Jaw, always entertaining. About 50 minutes to kick off between the Bombers and your Riders, the West Final at Mosaic Stadium on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Rider Nation pregame show continues from Mosaic Stadium, a little over 50 minutes away to the Riders and Bombers. And Bob Irving of CJOB joins us. We heard his voice on CKRM last week calling a surprising, at least the level of the victory last week, the Bombers over the Stamps by 3 touchdowns. Were you surprised?
Oh, yeah, by the final score, for sure. You probably noticed the level of surprise in my voice describing that second half. Now, the Bombers are down by, 6 at halftime, and you kind of had the feeling, you know, if you've been following this Bomber team as long as I have, Derek, that this is going to end the same way as it always does in Calgary, right? And it never ends good for the Bombers in Calgary. And yet, in the back of my mind, I knew that 6 points down, you know, the Bombers still had a chance. They have a good team and all the rest of it. But to dominate the way they did in the second half and hold Bo Levi to the worst game of his career, shut him out in the second half. And then when Streveler went in, we all know what Streveler's going to do, right? There's no secrets there.
Yep.
But he just overpowered the Stampeders. The O-line took charge of the game. And then Zach Collaros threw a couple of beautiful long passes to Darvin Adams. And I don't know, they just carried on to an impressive win that I don't think anybody saw coming.
No, maybe the victory, like you say, itself, but the margin of the victory and the performance of Bo Levi Mitchell. Watching that game, I think, gave Rider fans a lot of pause because Zach did his thing to the tune of 193 yards and that big pass to Darvin Adams. And Chris Streveler, whose health was at least in question to us on the outside, came in and dominated as well. And you think, oh, that two-headed monster now at quarterback comes to Regina. From what you've seen from it from 2 games, how dangerous is it?
Well, it's very dangerous, and especially as each game Zach Collaros plays, he becomes more comfortable in that offense. Imagine the first game he played was against Calgary, Derek, and he had two full practices before that game. 2 full practices.
Crazy.
Then he had 2 weeks before the playoff game. He's had another week now. He's a smart guy, as you well know, and so he should be incrementally better, I think, every week. And then you know Streveler is going to go in there with a package of some kind, the way he did with Nichols the first half of the year and all of last year. He scored, I think, 12 touchdowns last year. It's not like this has come out of the blue with him, you know, taking the ball and running with it. So, yeah, I think it's a unique situation. We've seen years ago we saw 2 quarterback systems on some teams, but nothing ever quite like this where the second quarterback is strictly a guy who comes out and runs over people like a running back. You know, it's not like tackling Damon Allen when this guy runs around the corner. You're meeting a guy who's 6'2", 215 pounds. And a lot of those DBs, my guess is, are a little reluctant to take him on. So he really is a weapon unlike we've seen at the quarterback position.
Well, for how many years have we talked about if you have 2 quarterbacks, you have no quarterback?
Yep.
I remember asking that to Dave Ritchie many, many years ago when Stanley Jackson was a Bomber.
Right.
But now this is, Bombers have 2 quarterbacks, and it's not, for lack of having one, it's really 2 weapons in the backfield, plus Andrew Harris, plus Nick Dembski can run, plus Janarian Grant gets in there.
Yeah.
This is a diversified running attack I don't know most defenses have seen in a long time.
No, for sure. And what's unique about the quarterback situation is it's not like the number 2 guy goes in because the number 1 guy is struggling. He goes in to run a short yardage play and then stays in the game for another couple of plays. And if he's moving the ball, he stays in for a few more. And then the other guy, the number 1 guy, eventually goes back in. So it's a very unique situation. And then you throw Andrew Harris into it. They like to run Dembski on, you know, some handoffs. They run that power sweep with Grant or whoever. Dembski runs that sometimes too. It really is a multi-pronged attack. Unlike anything we've seen sort of in totality for quite a while.
Yeah, the only thing I could think is maybe the way Hamilton uses Braylon Addison is somewhat comparable, but this rushing attack for a team that likes to run the most in the league is a real threat for the defense. Let me ask you, Willie Jefferson hasn't had a lot of stats in the last 6 weeks, including last week's playoff game where he had no official statistics at all. What do the Bombers still think about the threat that Jefferson brings to their defense?
Well, what the coaches will tell you, Derek, is he does so much to throw the other team off just by being out there, that it opens up plays for other players. He gets his arms in the air, and sometimes he won't touch the ball, but then the quarterback can't see where he wants to throw, right? So Willie doesn't get a stat for that, but he's made a play that's impacted what the offense is doing. And they move him around all over the place. So sometimes I think they do it really at his peril. It doesn't give him a chance to just come off the edge and rush on every play. But he's turned into a real selfless player, and he just does what he's asked to do. And you won't hear the coaches say a bad word. When he doesn't get a stat, they say, we don't care about that. The stats we compile, he's registering them all over the field. So I know when people don't see him get a sack or a knockdown or something, you go, what's Willie Jefferson doing? Well, the coaches will tell you he's doing a lot.
Yeah, he's a real weapon. He's one Cody Fajardo has talked about several times because of that giant frame and the way he's able to distract, even if he doesn't get a pressure or a sack. You don't have to give me a score prediction, but do you have any feel for how the game is going to play out today? Because I have none.
No, I don't know. People ask me who I think is going to win. Well, I don't have any idea who's going to win. I have a good feeling about the Bombers. I think they're just loaded with confidence. That win over Calgary, well, back-to-back wins over Calgary, has given them a ton of confidence, Derek, for sure. And I think they're quite determined to take that final step to the Grey Cup, which this franchise hasn't for 8 years. But I know the Riders are just as determined. You know, we talk in Winnipeg, oh, they got a good thing going, they got real great chemistry. Well, so do they in Saskatchewan. And they were first at 13-5, statistically among the best in the league in a lot of categories. So, hey, I think the Riders should be favored, not by much. And to me, it's a toss-up.
And that's what the gambling line would say as well. It's the Riders -3, which is the exact home field advantage. So gambling folks thinks this will be a toss-up. So do I. And it's a pleasure to see you for a fifth time this season. It's amazing.
Too, Derek. Yeah,
well, five times these two teams
have played. Well, let's do it again next year. It's great. This rivalry is fantastic. It really is. And besides, I can drive and I don't have to fly. And that's always a bonus for me.
He is Bob Irving of CJOB, Riders and Bombers, a little over 40 minutes from now. We'll go to break. We're back to Mosaic Stadium after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Minutes to kick off Riders and Bombers in the West Final on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're in the broadcast booth for Western Pizza, Flam and Sales, Golden West Trailer and Equipment, and your Saskatchewan Party Caucus. Zach Collaros, the former Riders quarterback, the Riders quarterback in the first game this season, now leads the Winnipeg Blue Bombers into Mosaic Stadium. We talked to Collaros yesterday, asked him, so Zach, how has your season been?
It's been a long season for sure, you know, but these last 4 or 5 weeks have been awesome, and just trying to live in the present right now and enjoy that.
What kind of reception do you think you get tomorrow, Zach? Have you thought about the Rider fans?
I don't think I'll get any kind of reception. Probably an indifferent reception, but yeah, we'll see.
How do you look back on your time with the Rough Riders? Like, unfinished business or frustrated?
We won a lot of games, so that was obviously exciting to be a part of. You know, playing in front of, you know, the 13th man is definitely fun to be on the home team for that. And I'm obviously grateful for the relationships that I made when I was here. I have a lot of good friends in that locker room that I'll remain good friends with.
You helping the defense with your knowledge of the Riders?
Oh, yeah, we had like a 2-day seminar.
Did you? Yeah. Somebody be filming.
No, I mean.
It's more like filming.
I haven't watched a lot of the games, obviously, this season, and on TV especially, but, you know, Coach Hall does a great job getting those guys ready. And, you know, there's a couple questions here and there, but, I mean, when you play a team 3 times, 4 times, including the preseason, there's not a lot of secrets.
Zach Collaros low-keying it, then dropping a little joke in there about what he's helping that Bombers defense with. Luke, Mitchell Blair, just so handsome, I thought you were Luke.
Well, I was going to say, if you're confusing me for Luke, I just want to, the Riders are the guys in the green uniforms.
Right.
The Bombers are the ones in the white uniforms.
We'll get this all very straight. Zach Collaros' story is crazy.
Oh.
Who would ever draw this up?
Did he play in the preseason game here? Is this Zach Collaros' first appearance inside Mosaic Stadium this year?
Gosh, his game was the...
Because I can't remember if he played in the preseason or not.
His that would have been the second preseason game, right? No, he wouldn't have played in that one.
No.
Because they were trying to solve the rest of the situation, the Fajardo-Harker situation.
Like, this has just been such a weird story for Zach Caleros. I hate to break this to you, Zach, but if you think you're not going to get a reception today, you might be in for a little bit of a surprise. Because I think there are 33,000 people here willing to welcome you back. I just put out on Twitter, I don't know when the Zach Caleros tribute video is going to play today. Of course, tongue firmly in cheek when I say that.
Hey,
but
he put his body on the line for the Riders franchise. Unfortunately, in his case. But his story goes from Regina to Toronto to Winnipeg and now back in Regina for a berth in the Grey Cup. My goodness. It just shows us how far you can come in 24 weeks, right?
We think, a nine-team league? Absolutely.
Yeah. You would have thought, oh, if I'd have said to you, oh, there's going to be an injury and Cody Fajardo may not be 100% for the playoffs. Back in, you know, preseason, you thought, okay, so what? Now it means the world to us, and Zach is two teams away.
As somebody said after the Winnipeg-Calgary game, and I forget who it was, Rider fans were hoping on this day Zach Caleros would be on the field for the Western Final at Mosaic Stadium. Well,
very true.
He is, but
amazing.
It is.
It is an incredible story. And if you are just tuning in, Caleros and Strebler both jerseyed up for Winnipeg. They will both play. Cody Fajardo wearing the number 7 in green. It looks good. He's been throwing some passes. You've been watching a little closer. Yep.
And it's funny because, you know, we could have 5 quarterbacks play here today.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Caleros playing his former team. What if Brian Bennett does something against his former team?
Oh,
today?
Bennett will get reps, absolutely.
Absolutely.
They'll use Bennett in the run game for sure. Will Isaac Harker get some reps? We were joking. We're going to see 7 Riders throwing passes in this one. Nick Marshall's going to throw some
John
balls.
John Ryan's throwing one.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's break out the 2015 NFC Championship play.
Come on. Naaman Roosevelt, quarterback back
right
in the
on.
Day. Everybody's going to throw some passes.
I would think, with Mike O'Shea and Craig Dickinson having a little bit of a special teams background, we are in for some trickery and some skullduggery before this afternoon is over.
Oh, no question. Paul Appelese of the Bombers loves to scheme up this and that, and what kooky onside field goal attempt are we going to see? This is going to be a really, really good game.
What's the bet on the quarterback throwback pass with Fajardo, Strevler, Caleros, whoever, catching a touchdown pass today?
I'm going to say no bet that Cody Fajardo catches a touchdown pass, because that might be suicidal. That dude needs to be ready for next week.
Philly special?
Man, they would never see it coming. They would never.
It'd be something.
If you ever watched that old show Coach, about the Minnesota State Screaming Eagles, and the quarterback was in a wheelchair, and then all of a sudden he pops on for the game-winning drive because he's not any hurt at all. Maybe I wouldn't put it past anybody, but I don't really want to see Cody Fajardo catching touchdowns. I want him throwing 3, getting out early, standing next to the heater, and just getting ready for Calgary next week. And what looks like the Hamilton Tiger Cats, has that game gone final as they were bossing the Edmonton Eskimos? We'll check it here. 36-16 the final. Hamilton a 20-point win in the East Final, so they have booked the first spot in the Grey Cup. Will the Riders follow? We will know in about 3.5 hours from now. Mitchell, great to see you. We'll hear from you at halftime.
All right. Rob and I will dissect it at the half, so we'll see you then. Have a great call.
Luke Mullender will slide in next in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers. Search it, watch it, bid on it. Buy it at McDougalBay.com and on the McDougal Bay app. And the Rider Nation pregame show is courtesy of Degelman Industries, Nutrien, Kinexus Credit Union, and Vaderstad. 32 minutes from kickoff on the West Final on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. The sun is shining, literally, over Mosaic Stadium, figuratively over the first place Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Through a 13-win season, they earned home field advantage for this most important game of the year so far, where they will host their rival, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Quarterback Cody Fajardo, the West nominee for Most Outstanding Player, ready to start dealing with an oblique injury. He says he feels great. He's been out throwing passes. He looks good to go. Shaq Evans, their leading receiver, was in doubt with a toe injury. Tried it out a little over an hour ago. He is good to play. Kenny Stafford is the scratch. And Mosaic Stadium is a sellout. First time since 2009, the stadium is sold out for a playoff game. 33,500 people here to root on the Riders as they look to clinch a spot in the Grey Cup for the first time since 2013. It is the Riders and Bombers for the fifth time this season, a game that will feature so many twists and turns on every side of the ball. We will hear from Cody Fajardo. We'll hear from Coach Dickinson, and we will hear from Luke Mullender when we return for Bear Crop Science, Science for a Better Life, Special Blend by Weiser's, Sastel, and Young's Equipment. We're 28 minutes to the West Final on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. About 26 minutes to the West Final, the Riders and Bombers here on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network for Seedmaster, CAA Saskatchewan, McDougall Auctioneers, and AGCO. Cody Fajardo has been the talk of the town this week. He is good to go for this game. He will be starting. Coach Craig Dickinson yesterday saying Fajardo is ready to play.
He's shown that he's healthy. He's going to have some soreness and some stiffness, but he's shown that he can execute and run the offense the way we need him to. So we feel like he's going to be good.
How confident can he play through this whole injury for a whole game?
I think he can. I mean, we'll have to see. You know, everybody on that field knows that you're one big shot away from possibly being injured, and he's no different. It hasn't affected his mobility at all. We feel like he's going to be able to move, elude the pass rush like he always has. And we're hopeful that, not practicing a lot doesn't make him rusty. He's done a good job of staying tuned in the meetings and doing a good job of really being focused on what's going on. I think he'll have a good game.
Time to welcome in my partner, Luke Mullender. And Luke, what is the first thing from Fajardo that you want to see to know that he is healthy enough to complete this game?
I want to see the first throw under pressure.
Okay.
First throw when Winnipeg says, look, listen, we're blitzing. We're going to send one more guy than you can block. I want to be able to see Cody start to be able to consistently throw an on-time ball. It's got to be a quick throw. It may have to have some distance on it. Regardless, it just needs to get there on time, and then I'll start feeling a little bit better about it. I think that's the reason why Rider Nation comes in here a little bit anxious, because they don't necessarily know how Cody Fajardo is going to throw. Again, it's one thing to do it in practice, but it's another thing to do it against a defense that predicates itself on things like turnovers and quarterback pressure.
Everybody's talking about, has he thrown a deep ball? Can he throw a deep ball? Will he throw a deep ball? You made what I thought was a great point on the Sports Cage. Cody is one of the best throwers to the wide side of the field, and that ball is something you'll be watching.
Yeah, and that's one of the throws we might see first, right? Get a boundary to field on time before this Winnipeg front or Winnipeg secondary can run downhill and go and try to make an interception, right? Again, it's all part of it today, and it's really an intriguing, I guess, first sort of storyline that we'll see addressed very early on. But again, it's not always been about Cody this year. He's got a fantastic O-line. He's got a fantastic running game in Powell and Figgy, and even Keenan LaFrance has ability. So he goes into this game understanding that he does not have to do too much. He can be part of the system, and they still have a chance to succeed.
Fantastic receiving core as well. We will talk about that. Shaq Evans will be playing. Patrick Lavoie getting into his first game of the season, and it's in the West Final. Very neat thing happening there. Lavoie being on the roster moves Albert Awachi to the one-game injured list. He joins Darius Bladick, Jacoby Cofield, Zach Evans, Braden Lenius, and Jordan Williams-Lambert on the one-game injured list. No new additions to the six-game injured list this week. The pregame injury report for Saskatchewan Construction Safety. As you drive to and from the game, the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association reminds you to slow down in the orange zone. Just over 22 minutes to kickoff in the West Final. We're back to talk about receivers after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Just under 20 minutes to kickoff. Sold out Mosaic Stadium for the West Final
Riders and Bombers for the Cooperators. See Lori Jasper and her team in Yorkton, Capital Auto Mall, Nick Service, and Willow Park Wines and Spirits. Riders leading receiver is Shaq Evans. He did not practice in any practice the media was at this week. Coach Dickinson said we'll decide on Sunday. They brought Shaq out. He ran some routes with Coach Travis Moore and Dickinson watching intently. Kenny Stafford was watching as well, knowing that he would go into the game if Shaq couldn't play. Shaq looked good enough. He got hugs and pats on the bottom. He is ready to play. Luke, Shaq is such an important part of this offense. What do you want to see from him as he deals with a toe injury?
Well, I think that Shaq's toe injury isn't as big a deal as I think we made it seem.
Okay.
Because of the place he plays in the system. He's not the timing, the quick cuts, the quick out receiver. He's the big play. For instance, he's the Darvin Ham of Winnipeg, the guy who's going to stretch the field. My thing with Shaq and that toe is, can you get up in the air? Can you compete for a one-on-one jump ball? It's Naaman Roosevelt that's going to be doing all the cutting, all the quick digs and things like that. It's Kyren Moore, right? If you thought if Shaq played Kyren Moore's position, we'd be concerned.
Okay.
Why? Because Kyren does the jitterbug stuff, right? He's the guy who's in and out of his breaks. He's the guy trying to make plays with the ball in his hand. No. We just need Shaq to be able to compete for the ball up top, outrun a guy if he has to, maybe make some tight routes, but again, it's not the type of routes where it's not the Kyren Moore route. I don't know how best to explain it than that. So I'm excited for him. I'm glad he can play. I think that Kenny Stafford was glad that he can play. I know the coaches are glad he can play, and they need all the guys and the help they can get out here because the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are coming, and they're ready to ball.
Shaq Evans, 72 catches for 1,334 yards this season. Highest yards per catch of any receiver in the CFL. He gets the fourth deepest targets of any receiver in the CFL. He'll run slants and deep routes that no one else on this offense runs, so that Shaq Evans is available is great, great news for your Riders. 17 minutes to kick off as the fever pitch is rising here at Mosaic Stadium. We'll be back. We'll talk about this Bombers attack, the diverse run game they've showed all season, and especially last week in Calgary. How will the Riders attack that with their defense? Jason Shivers and company are under pressure today. We'll go to break. We're back after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Sold out Mosaic Stadium. Just under 15 minutes to kick off in the West Final. Riders hosting the Bombers for Salford Group, Kinexus Credit Union, SaskTel, and Flamin Sales. Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender with you. Luke, last week in the West semifinal, the Bombers bludgeoned Calgary with their running game.
Yeah.
The most diverse running attack in the CFL.
Yeah.
Be it from the running back with two different guys in Andrew Harris and Nick Dembski. Guys running from the slot. And then, oh, by the way, the quarterback just throwing his particular block of granite at the defense.
Yeah.
What does this defense need to do? Maybe who's the most stressed by this diverse running attack?
We're going to have three keys to the game later on, but the most important thing about today is winning the physical battle. I said on the pregame show with Ballsy today that was the first time since I've been in the league in 2004 that I've seen Calgary be soft. I looked at the film a lot this weekend, especially of that Calgary game. We even talked about it with Coach Benavides on the Sports Cage, is that he was just running through tackles. I'm talking about Strevler and guys like Harris. You can't be soft today. You got to win the physical battle. That's it. You win the physical battle up front. You put a helmet on the football. You bring guys to the ground. You're going to be all right. You can't let the Winnipeg Blue Bombers establish the physical side of this football game. You cannot let them establish the line of scrimmage, and you cannot let them build momentum for themselves on the ground. They don't want to be in the air. As much as they're an explosive, like this is an explosive group. plus 20 yards. They make big plays all over on offense. They make big plays on D as well. But don't get it twisted. This is a team that's rooted in being physical and running the football. That's how they get the big plays, because they get you to focus on the line of scrimmage so much. They get you to focus on guys like Strebler when he's in the game, when Nick Dembski's in the backfield with Andrew Harris and the Wildcat, and they're moving all around. They get you to focus on pre-snap so much that then they run a guy like Darvin Adams right behind you,
yep,
and he hits you for six. That's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So today you got to be focused and intent on winning the physical battle up front. Force them into the air, you should be all right.
Chris Strebler has the most designed runs of any quarterback in the league. Those jet sweeps, the Bombers run those about three times as much as the average team this season. And then, oh, by the way, Andrew Harris, Lance Armstrong, in your words occasionally, yeah, the leading rusher in the league.
You got to get the defense's eyes moving. Right, the more guys like Solly and Cam Judge, the more they're thinking about guys moving in and out of the tackle box.
Yeah,
the easier it is to run the play. Remember, the offense knows what they're doing. It's up to the defense to diagnose it pre-snap. And Winnipeg's become really good at getting guys to start thinking about other things other than the actual snap of the football and what they're going to do.
A nice 12 tackle day coming for Solomon Elamimian, we certainly hope. We'll check out the weather conditions brought to you by Olympic Buildings, putting up quality farm buildings all across Saskatchewan. Olympic-buildings.ca. As the Bombers take the field, or the Boomers. I want to see Zach Caleros running out, see if he gets any special attention from the crowd. 3 degrees at Mosaic Stadium. Wind.
What a day.
Negligible.
It's great.
At the airport, it's southeast at 18 kilometers an hour. We feel nothing. This is a blessed day this Sunday in November. Believe it or not, this is the weather we're going to have for the Western Final. 11 minutes to kick off. We're off to break. We're back with more on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nine minutes to kick off Mosaic Stadium for the West Final. The Riders teasing this sold-out crowd at Mosaic Stadium. Mike Adam, Nick Marshall, Taryn Vaughn, Shaq Evans, Luchez Purifoy hyping things up as they are going to bring him out. The West Final, a 13-win season. And here they come. $33,500 strong at Mosaic Stadium, cheering for Cody Fajardo and your Saskatchewan Roughriders. They run the length of the field, hyping up this crowd. They don't want this moment to die. Drinking it all in. For some of these guys, their first West Final.
Well,
for some of these veterans approaching 200 games, it might be old hat.
Well, this is what you hear about when you play in other teams. In this league, this is one of the reasons why I was so blessed and honored to put the green and white on. This is Rider Nation at its best. 33,000 people cheering you as you leave the tunnel. They're really invested here today in the green and white. I can't wait. This is literally one of the things that these players hear about throughout the year. How cool it is to play in front of Rider Nation at the height and at the apex of that, its energy. And it's also something that you're proud to talk to about with your kids later on down in life.
Yeah.
I've got teammates that still talk about playing in front of Mosaic Stadium or the old Mosaic Stadium. And I got guys that I talk to on this team that are overwhelmed every time they run out of that tunnel. And today is going to be special. And they need to enjoy this part today.
Yeah, you look up and you see maybe 10,000 jerseys alone in the crowd among the 33,000. It is an incredible atmosphere for this game. For Young's Equipment, Casinos Regina, and Moose Jaw, always entertaining. Your Saskatchewan Party Caucus and Fuddruckers will go to break. Luke's three keys to the game and kickoff of the West Final are next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.